stop the things you do. Watch out!
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Pop Fishbowl. I am your host, Ezekiel. The reason why this is a special episode is it's not going to be a normal one. It's going to be another one of a bonus mini-sode or mini-cast. I don't know what the vernacular nomenclature is for it, but I like mini-cast. Let's go with that. It's a special episode of Pop Fishbowl. It's a mini-cast because I got very sick over the last week and I watched a lot of TV. I kind of went against my my rule that I had set for myself where I was only going to watch X amount of hours of TV because there's just too much. Like, this is why it's the peak TV mini-cast episode. So, before we continue, what is peak TV? So, peak TV was coined last summer, so summer of 2015, by John Landgraf, who's the president of FX, because he was doing kind of like a keynote speech at the Television Critics Association, the TCA they call it, and he had kind of guesstimated and made a list that by the end of last year, so 2015, there was going to be like over 400 hours of scripted TV. So that doesn't count like reality shows or, you know, that's just like dramas or comedies or dramedies, just 400 shows, like totally, like it, that's insane. So and of course that, you know, that term got kind of thrown around and it's now become peak TV, and it's kind of insane because, like, I remember when I was younger, like 10 years ago, there was like the broadcast networks, right? So you had like ABC and NBC and CBS and Fox, and then there was like WB and UPN, and then they later formed the CW, but that was it. And then there was, you know, the cable stuff. There was like HBO and Showtime. Like, those are the two big things, right? Like, now it's kind of like Netflix, but 10 years ago or even 15 years ago, it was HBO. Like, they had Sex and the City and they had Sopranos and they had 6 Feet Under, and then Carnival came and Deadwood came, and on Showtime there was, you know, like Weeds, Dead Like Me was on for a couple years, there was The L Word, like those were kind of like the big things. And then of course the, you know, other cable networks followed suit, and there was like FX, which did like The Shield and Rescue Me and Nip Tuck, and there was AMC, which, you know, started in 2007 with like Mad Men and Breaking Bad, and now does like The Walking Dead. That's the big one it's known for, but it's just kind of snowballed, like it's everywhere, and all the other like cable networks have stepped up. Like USA did Mr. Robot last year, and that was a really good show. If you guys haven't watched that, I don't know where it's available, but the first season, whether, you know, you can watch it on like Amazon or iTunes or something, it's very good. It was a very different departure from USA, which is kind of known as the procedurals. And then Lifetime had Unreal, which was kind of behind the scenes of like a Bachelor-esque type show, and that was really, really good. I love like anti-heroes, and this was like one of the first female anti-heroes. She was just awesome. It was a really, really cool show. I enjoyed it. But it's insane. It's like, it's 2016. It's April 30th today, so it's the last day of April 2016. And it's just, it's mind-boggling, like the amount of TV that we have. because so you don't even count the broadcast networks. You don't even count HBO and Showtime and FX and AMC and Sci-Fi and USA Network. But now there's Sundance. That's a relatively new channel. And then there's all the streaming ones. Like Netflix came out pretty much 3 years ago, right, with their first big show, which was House of Cards. And there was House of Cards and Orange is the New Black and Hemlock Grove. And now Netflix is just huge. It is such a huge player. Like, it won a bunch of Emmys. And it's just, it's, and their shows are very good. I love Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is one of their comedies. It's probably one of my favorite comedies. I just love that show. I also love Gracie and Frankie. Bloodline last year was very good. I still haven't watched Daredevil. I haven't watched season one or two of Daredevil. I'm sure it's good. I really like Jessica Jones. I watch Jessica Jones mainly because I love, I don't think there's just enough like female lead shows, and I like the idea. And I liked the idea of like David Tennant as a villain. It was just, it was very interesting to me. But yeah, so there's that's Netflix. And then of course Amazon stepped up to the plate with Transparent, which was a story of a trans person who is trying to figure out her life. And then what else does Amazon have? They have like The Man in the High Castle, they have Red Oaks, they have Bosch, they have Mozart in the Jungle. Like, they are also kind of like a force to be reckoned with. And it's like, it's cool because like streaming platforms like Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and all the other ones, it's like the Wild West. Like, we still don't know what's going to happen, right? I think Netflix is going to be one of those ones that's going to be around for a while. But I mean, with Hulu and Amazon, anything goes. But no, they've stepped it up. And speaking of stepping up, you know, is Hulu, which they've done shows before, but I just watched six episodes of The Path, and I'll talk about that later, and it's just phenomenal. Like, I hope that it gets nominated and wins a bunch of Emmys, because, man, that's a good show. Holy fire roasted trouts, guys. That is a, if you like acting, and you just like to see good acting, you gotta watch the Path. Like, you gotta turn this off right now and go, okay, well, I rather would watch acting, because it's that good. But yeah, this is the day and age that we live in, which is just insane. There's just too many shows. So if you've listened to a couple of my other podcasts, I've mentioned that I'm trying really, really hard to just kind of like keep the amount of stuff I have, you know, to like a 5 hour minimum every week, you know. But I got really sick this week, and so I just decided to, you know, take a bite out of like peak TV. And so this is kind of what I watched. It, like, it's a lot. So I watched the first seasons of Slasher, The Expanse, and Colony. The Expanse is from Sci-Fi. The best way I can describe it is it's kind of like a sprawling space opera. It's very slow, and it deals with three different characters. One is kind of the captain of a freighter in space, and he like kind of triggers a war between Earth and Mars. And then there's another character who's a detective, and he's searching for a missing girl. And then the third character is a woman who works for the UN on Earth. So all their stories kind of like become intertwined by the end of the first season. So this first season was 10 episodes, and it's The Expanse, and it's on Sci-Fi. It started really slow. Like, I watched three episodes and I was intrigued. Like, just shamefully, I have to admit, one of the reasons I was excited about The Expanse, because I'm not really big into space stuff, is the fact that Mars was mentioned on the show. I love Mars. I have a huge obsession with Mars. It's just my favorite planet. I even had like a Mars invasion party a couple years ago just to celebrate Mars. But that's a whole other podcast in of itself. I love Mars. Just, you know. So that's kind of why my interest was piqued for The Expanse, where normally I wouldn't have watched. Like, I still have never watched Battlestar Galactica. People have told me it's good, They've said I would enjoy it, but I haven't watched a single episode. But once The Expanse got going into like episode 6, it got really good. The stories started to kind of flow, and I really enjoyed it. I liked the actors. You have like Thomas Jane, who was like the Punisher, and he was in the HBO show Hung. And yeah, it's good. And they've got I can't say her name, but she's the actress, the actor that was from House of Sand and Fog. She played the wife of Ben Kingsley's character, and she was also the one of the terrorists in a season of 24. Actually, she's very good in that season of 24. I just forget her name, and I also don't want to butcher it, so I'm just gonna leave it at that. But The Expanse was good. I definitely will watch it when it comes back for season 2. I'm intrigued. The next one I watched was The Colony, which airs on USA Network. So it's about kind of like the post America after an alien invasion. It stars Josh Holloway from Lost and Sarah Wayne Callies from, well, I know her from Prison Break, but probably a lot more people will know her as Lori Grimes from The Walking Dead. She played Rick's wife for a couple seasons. So Josh Holloway and Sarah Wayne Callies, they're married and they have like 3 kids. One of their kids is missing because they've separated states and cities into different colonies. And so they're in the colony of Los Angeles and their son is in another colony and they're trying to find him. So he goes to work for the government because they offer him a deal. Like basically, you know, it's the deal with the devil. If you work for us, we'll give you our son. We promise, right? And so I was lucky that both The Expanse and Colony were relatively short. There were about 10 episodes, so it wasn't like a huge chunk of my time. And I was also sick, so it helped. I didn't enjoy The Colony as much as I enjoyed The Expanse. Mainly, I like the premise. I like the idea of what is Earth like and what are cities like after an alien invasion, but it was just kind of ho-hum. Like the thing I loved about The Expanse was the world building. Like the characters not only felt real, but the world they lived in felt real. Like, you know, you felt that Mars was this legitimate threat in outer space, and there's despite there being all this vernacular and stuff and terms that you didn't really understand, it felt like a real world. Whereas The Colony, it just, you know, and Josh Holloway was Sawyer from Lost and Sarah Wayne Callies was basically Sarah Tancredi from Prison Break. I mean, they weren't doing anything different. Carl Weathers was in it too, and I always think of him from Arrested Development where he's like, I got a stew going, and from Happy Gilmore. But yeah, it just it was okay. I don't know if I'll come back for it because I enjoyed it, but it wasn't really anything special. It was more like I kind of wanted to finish it. The last show that I watched, and I saved the worst for last because this was awful, is Slasher. Slasher is the first original show for Chiller, but it's a Canadian production, so it's filmed in Canada, it's written by a Canadian writer, it stars Canadians, and I think it airs on the Super Channel in Canada, but then it's licensed to Chiller, so kind of like how Netflix acquires a lot of British dramas and then they say it's a Netflix original when really it was on BBC One or ITV or whatever, or Sky One. It's kind of the same thing with Slasher. So Slasher is about a serial killer, the executioner, who returns to this small town of Waterbury around the same time that one of the only living survivors of the first executioner from like 20 years ago, she moves back to town with her husband. Her husband is a journalist and he goes to work for the paper, and all of a sudden the killings start happening. So it's very much in the vein of like Harper's Island and Scream. If you guys watched Scream last summer on MTV, it's just this very kind of cheesy murder mystery. And now this is where I'm going to go into spoilers. And so if you don't want to hear anything about Slasher, for whatever reason, if you're really a big fan of Slasher and you're watching it or you intend to watch it, you can just turn this off for a second because I can't help myself. I have to go into a spoiler because I have to reveal why I did not like this show so much. So the first five episodes of Slasher were like really, really cheesy. It's just like cheesy fun. And as a Canadian myself, you could spot all the things. Like the show is filmed in Ontario, which is one of our provinces, a couple of small towns in Ontario, and like, you know, you spot CIBC, which is a bank, and there's Canadian actors such as Mary Walsh, who's a comedian, and Wendy Crewson, who's in a bunch of Canadian dramas, and it's very Canadian. And it was like I said, it was just cheesy. Like this, every episode someone dies and it's got the murder mystery aspect. It was just kind of fun, and it was like my guilty pleasure. And then around episode 6, randomly, one of the characters is revealed to have abducted and raped a 15-year-old girl and fathered a child with her, and then he chained her up in his basement. He basically kind of like had built like a little room, a man cave, he called it, so his wife would stay away with this girl and his son. And the whole episode focused on these guys, and it just made me utterly sick. I have not been that uncomfortable watching TV probably since an episode of Six Feet Under and Game of Thrones. I felt physically sick. I was angry. I was upset. I've had nightmares the last couple of days. That's how much it got under my skin. And I think the reason it got under my skin so much is it literally came out of nowhere. It went from this really cheesy, guilty pleasure show to taking this really dark theme that unfortunately happens in real life and just kind of throwing it out there. I don't know if it was intended to be shock value, but it just was like, it was like, here's my face and here's the brick wall. And yeah, so, and of course, because I have no soul sometimes, I had to finish it. I had to know who was the murderer. So I watched two more episodes of Slasher, because Slasher only had 8 episodes for their season. And I hope to never ever watch that show or ever think of it ever again. So that's Slasher. I watched 6 episodes of The Path. The Path is, as I was saying earlier, is Hulu's new show. And this is the show, in my opinion, that I think will put Hulu on the map. Like, honestly, there are probably 3 best like acted shows of 2016 that I've seen so far, starting with People vs. O.J. Simpson, followed by The Path, and then followed by Underground, which is WGN America's show. The Path is awesome. It focuses on kind of like a cult. It's kind of like loosely based off Scientology and a couple other movements, and it stars Aaron Paul, who was Jesse Pinkman on Breaking Bad, and Hugh Dancy, who was Will Graham on Hannibal, and Michelle Monaghan, she was in the first season of True Detective. She was also in Mission Impossible as Tom Cruise's wife. The Path is very, very good. Like, just the acting is phenomenal. And not just the 3 leads, but I mean, you've even like Rockman Dunbar, who was C-Note on Prison Break, Sarah Jones, who was in an episode of Justified, as well as Vegas from a couple years ago. It's just a very, very good cast. I like all the characters, even the teenage son, and that says something for TV dramas nowadays, when I even like and relate to the teenage son. The one critique I've heard about The Path, which has been really funny, is that from a lot of like TV critics, that they said, well, the show is really well acted, but it's just slow and nothing happens. And so it's kind of boring. And it's like, really? Like, I don't know. I love it. And there's like 4 episodes left, so I'm just in. So I love The Path. I watched 5 episodes of The Catch, which is Shonda Rhimes' new show. She didn't write it. It's just like under her company. And it stars, I'm going to butcher her name. I apologize to the actor that's Muriel Enos, who was in Big Love. And she was the main character, Sarah Linden, on The Killing. She's also Brad Pitt's wife on World War Z. And so she plays a PI, and she gets conned by her fiancé, who turns out to be a con artist. And he was using her company to get information. And so he used her and he used the company. And her fiancé is played by Peter Krause, who was on one of my favorite shows, which is 6 Feet Under. He played Nate Fisher, but he was also in Parenthood for a while. And he's just, Peter Krause is awesome. I love him. And it's the reason I started watching it. And you know what? Honestly, just like Scandal surprised me when I started watching it. Because I said I'd never watched Scandal. I had so much fun watching The Catch. It's one of those shows that it's fun. It's fun to watch. It just, you know, every hour just flew right by and I had fun. Speaking of procedurals that I did not have fun, I also watched two episodes of Blindspot, which is from NBC, under the recommendation of my friend Morgan. Hello, Morgan, if you're watching. Morgan's like, it's my favorite show. That's a terrible impression of Morgan, by the way. And so the premise of Blindspot is that this woman wakes up in Times Square in a duffel bag, and she's covered, like, head to toe in tattoos. And so the FBI brings her in, and it turns out that, like, the tattoos are all kind of cryptic codes and messages, and they lead somewhere. And so they're trying to kind of figure out who this woman is, where she came from, why she's all tatted up. And, you know, it's just, it's like your run-of-the-mill procedural. The characters are kind of bland. The main actor, his acting was so off, and I had to go on, like, IMDb because I'm like, why is his voice so weird? Turns out he's Australian. So this is just my thing. To any, like, future writers or producers or actors out there, if you're from another country and you have your natural accent and you just can't do an American accent well, or you have trouble acting with said accent, just keep your native tongue. Like, honestly, that's one of the few things I love about Once Upon a Time. They let all the actors just have their original accents because it works out so much better. I mean, you can be an FBI agent that is British, that lived in the States for most of his life and has a British accent, or Australian, whatever. So it's just, please, because I don't know. I haven't seen this guy in anything else. Maybe he's just a terrible actor all around, but maybe it's the fact that accents are tough. So it's something I've noticed. It's something that really bugs me. So that was Blindspot. Finally, I watched one episode of a new Canadian show called Letterkenny. My really good friend recommended it to me. She's like, you have to watch it. It's about small town life. I lived in a small town when I was writing my book. And I don't know what to think. I've only watched one episode. It was weird. It's very, like, Canadiana and small town. So if like, you're in the States or in Britain or another country, if you've lived in a small town, you can probably relate to it, but it's strange. So I don't know if I should watch another episode because there's only 6 in total, but I kind of don't have any other reason. Whew! So that is all the TV I have watched. I watched a lot of TV, and I'm not even finished because, I mean, I still have Happen Leonard, which is Sundance's new show about, I think they're PIs. I don't know. And then there's Horace and Pete, which is Louis C.K.'s show that he just released on his own website, because that's a thing now where people just make their own TV show and release it on a website, apparently. There's all the Netflix stuff I haven't watched. There's all the Amazon stuff I still haven't watched. We live in peak TV, and it is crazy, and there's just too much stuff. But, yeah, that's all the stuff I watched. There will be a normal episode of Pop Fishbowl sometime in the future, whether it's in the next couple days or the next week. But this, I had to get all my thoughts and feelings out, yo, because peak TV be crazy. And now I'm probably never going to watch any TV for the rest of the week, and I'm probably just going to read a book. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to go read a book right now. Anyways, I will talk to you guys later. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.